Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. One text, a guy who says I never read his text. High Plains Drifter says, I work at the state docks. They make enough money to pay to have it dredged. Why are they taking money from taxpayers? I don't know the answer to that question, but there you have it. Joining us now, we'll go ahead and get to our next guest from Mobile Bay Keeper. William Strickland joins us on the line. William, thanks for coming or on the line here in the studio, the Faro Bureau. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming by.
Honored to be here. And I have to say, really happy to be introed by Kalijah, make my father proud. So, well, good way to start.
Yeah, well, let's start here, and let's talk about Mobile Bay Keeper. I'm familiar with it, but, you know, and I know you're a regular on the station, but just kind of give us a rundown, your mission, a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, so Bay Keeper's been around almost 30 years now. I have been there just under 4 years as the director, and our mission is simple. We exist to defend and revive the health of the waters of coastal Alabama. And our vision, what we say, you know, this is what we're trying to accomplish, is that no one should have to question if the fish are safe to eat or the water safe to swim in when our oyster reefs and our seagrasses recover, and then our community takes responsibility for those things. When that happens, then we'll close our doors. Unfortunately, got quite a bit of job security, as that we're not close to that vision being realized at the moment.
Well, the issue at hand here, and I've been talking about it, I don't understand it. I understand there are some environmental concerns here, but the mud dumping while they're dredging the port, and there's just like all these photos and videos of it, and you know, from fishermen and shrimpers, and you know, they're out there and they're just dumping it. They're dredging up this channel for the port expansion, and they're just dumping the spoil back into the bay, and it's not a good look. The images are a little startling, but you know, there's some people say, oh, no big deal, but there are others say there's such a better way to do this, and that you know, it is causing harm to the ecosystem. Kind of walk us through what your position. I explain to us why, where you guys are on this.
Yeah. As I mentioned, I've been here just under 4 years. And so when I got here, I pretty quickly got introduced, first of all, to a charter guide who fishes the Upper Bay and said, hey, they're doing this open water disposal thing. And that's illegal. That was his thought. And so I asked my team, hey, what's going on with this? And they said, we've been working on this for a long time, since 2018. Concerns with the deepening and widening project, and in particular disposal of dredged material. Turns out the commercial fishermen were also really loud about that since that time as well. And so there were two groups that were saying, hey, if you're going to be who you're presenting to us who you are, you need to do something about this quick, because our oyster reef's dying, our habitat's dying for fish. And I grew up hunting and fishing, and so quickly connected with those groups of people and said, hey, you know, I'm one of you. I'm here for you. What can we do? So we continued those conversations with the Corps. Hey, there's a better way to do this. For those of you that don't know, we're the only ship channel bay in the country that uses this disposal practice. They're dumping 4.5 million cubic yards every year of mud into Mobile Bay. And they're permitted to do that for the next 20 years, not just with the deepening and widening, but the maintenance. That's the concern. The deepening and widening virtually is over. And what we're seeing already is the maintenance material. So they have to dredge pretty much 365 days a year to keep that channel open. And then what do we do with that dredged material? And in Mobile Bay, we've decided to experiment with dumping it in Mobile Bay. So we have said, hey, there's some things that need to be done different. Many of them have been accomplished in the last one. And what seems to be the most difficult one for some reason is that we have to stop dumping mud in open waters in Mobile Bay. And I can give you a list of statistics I'm sure we'll go over. But in short, there are better ways to dispose of this dredged material. Dumping mud in Mobile Bay is harming our oyster reefs, our seagrasses, our fishery. Property owners value, as you look out and you see muddy chocolate milk rather than right. Something that's more palatable.
What happens if I go out and dump mud into Mobile Bay?
Yeah, so that's there was an article recently where there's a contractor, the Cassidy Brothers, who if you're looking to get your boat slip dredged, that's a great company. They do a lot of marine contracting work, but he pretty clearly said, you know, if I did something like this, they'd throw me under the jail. You know, he's got to go through lots of precautions to prevent turbidity issues. And then, as you can see, if you haven't seen the video, I hope you'll tag it in when you put this online. You know, there's turbidity as far as the eye can see. You'll see that line where that cloud of dredge material stops and that little bit clearer water begins. And but it's not just about where they dump it as well. As Scott and other marine contractors will tell you, yeah, that water will clear up eventually. But now it's in the water. And so as we have wave action, things like that, it stirs up again. We get chocolate milk. So yeah, it's not the same standard applied to your private, contractor as it is to a government contractor.
Well, and what are the remedy? I mean, could you guys take some kind of legal remedy to get them to stop or talk about this? Because now I guess the question would be, do we know this was going to be how this spoil was disposed of before this project got underway? And if so, do we know, or is this kind of new?
Yeah, so I'll give you the long timeline. I'll try to speed it up. But they actually started this practice in 1985. Before that, they were taking it offshore, doing a variety of different things. But they started doing this in 85. But there was a group of local anglers, hunters, Mobile County Wildlife and Conservation Association got together with the Corps of Engineers. I cannot remember the congressman's name. I wish I'd had that note written down. They went out on a boat ride and convinced them, hey, this is not the thing to do. And it was banned. It was illegal in 1986 in the Water Resource Development Act. That lasted until 2012. In 2012, we had a lot of storms, and so there was more sediment in the channel. They couldn't stay under budget and dispose of it by taking it offshore or using it for restoration. And so they got emergency permission to go back to dumping mud in the bay as an emergency. Then 2014, it got permitted, and then it became a part of the permanent plans in 2018. The volumes have significantly increased since that 2012 emergency permission to do this. And so now we're looking at the 4.5 million cubic yards per year. And yes, since 2018, it's been in this permit. We've known about it. Baykeeper, the fishermen, the charter captains all raised, hey, what's going on? But as we're talking of now, you know, that was all really behind closed doors. It wasn't intended to be, but that's how often the public permitting process is designed, is we're going to have this meeting. Y'all are going to holler at us a little bit, and then we're going to do whatever we want to do. And so here recently, there was a new study done that showed that we have this fish called the Gulf sturgeon in numbers that they have in other parts of the northern Gulf Coast, and that wasn't taken into consideration when they were making these plans. And so Baykeeper did send a notice of intent to sue on the back of this fish, the Gulf sturgeon, which nobody particularly cares about, especially not folks that listen to the Jeff Porcia. That way to say, hey, you have to consider this. There's legal ramifications. But that's also when we launched this campaign, where we took the folks that were frustrated, got them together and said, hey, if we unify around this, I think we can make a difference legislatively, which is what we're looking at here in the near future.
So you think it's to take an act of the legislature or an act of a legislative body? Well, what's to stop you guys from taking this to court? Or is there a legal remedy?
Yeah, so I'll give you the shorter timeline now. So that was last summer where we did send the notice of intent to sue. And there are a variety of other legal actions that could be taken as well. At that same time, as I said, we organized these different groups, and it's a diverse group to say, hey, we need to let our voices be heard and ask our federal elected officials. This is all federal government making these decisions for us, to say, hey, we need to find a way to get the Corps to stop this. So since that time, I just got the number updated today. It's over 23,000 letters have been sent to our federal delegation asking them for this, which led to us being able to take a visit to D.C. With some charter guides and some scientists and talk to our senators and congresspeople up in D.C. And they asked us to hold off on a lawsuit to try to get a legislative solution. So we've done that for now. This summer is the first opportunity that they'll have to vote on for funding proper disposal, because the Corps does need more money to do this. And they're restricting that money to only go towards proper disposal methods and no longer for dumping mud in Mobile Bay.
How cost ineffective? What would the cost be to do something here, dumping this? What could you do with this spoil? I mean, and I know there's like shore restoration, right, and there's all kinds of ideas out there. But how expensive would it be? Like, why are they so reluctant to even when you bring this up with these guys, they run away from you?
Yeah, I hope you can get the answer. I'm going to tell you why I think it's a no-brainer that we do this. I genuinely do not know what their reasoning is for wanting to continue. So first of all, the Corps' estimates show, and we're not, they're not talking to us, so we don't have the exact numbers, but from what we've seen, it's going to be between $9 and $25 million additional dollars every year. Sounds like a lot of money to you and me.
The federal government, they just print it.
They've got it. But to say that, there's a pot of money called the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund, which the right. Corps nationally last year had a $1.4 billion surplus. Billion with a B. And, of course, the Trump administration is saying, hey, we're going to cut that if you don't spend that money. We need this infrastructure up and running. So there's a pot of money that they didn't spend, $1.4 billion, that's specifically designated for harbor maintenance, which is what we're talking about. So $9 to $25 million a year is a drop in the bucket compared to that surplus. So the money shouldn't be the problem. Second, I've heard something about equipment. We keep a close track and have lots of people in our network. There are hopper dredges available in the Northern Gulf Coast to be able to take it offshore if we need. And then the third thing, and this is, if you're a policymaker and you're trying to get the politics right and make everybody happy, well, the answer, of course, is restoration projects. And we are very for restoration projects, helping our habitat. And so they're saying, well, there's just not enough restoration projects, which, first of all, I think that's probably right. But I'll also say we've been able to gather from groups like the Nature Conservancy and Department of Conservation that just that we know of, there's 18 projects who are requesting dredge material from the Corps, and they're being told, well, we don't have any dredge material to give you. All of it's spoken for. And it's spoken for because it's being dumped back into the bay and then muddying our waters, killing our seagrass, covering up our oyster reefs, and we'll hopefully get into a little bit what the oystermen have experienced over the last year or two, which is just, it's heartbreaking and it's taken away a way of life.
What has been, and we can hit that in a moment, but you talk about talking to the delegation and members of Congress. What has been the reaction? How's that been received?
Yeah, I would say we've been received extremely well. We got meetings with the members themselves, with Senator Tuberville, Senator Britt, Congressman Moore, when we were there in January. I will say Coach was the most enthusiastic. He was excited to have those fishermen there, and he told them, I'm with you boys 100%. And, as he heads into leadership at the state level, we expect and are glad to have somebody that sees it that way, that somebody that will want to look out for the little guy that's not a part of the big government, big industry process that we have to make laws and keep them in place. Senator Britt listened well, and she had to run to actually lead the Senate at that time, but was able to hear from those guys and understand their issues. And as you, I think it was on your show where she urged the Corps to responsibly dispose of dredge material. And of course, I really appreciate that because I know that that's her showing some leadership, but the time to act is coming up soon. And that's what these folks that make their living on the water go, those words are great, but we're ready for some action now. And so we're getting closer in her being able to do that.
So I know you hit it off at the top, but the real impact here on what we, I guess kind of like the status quo, what we come to expect from Mobile Bay. And who's going to get hurt from this process?
From continuing the mud dumping?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, first of all, I'll start with the commercial fishermen because they're the most acutely harmed, right? They're the ones that that industries have been decimated. The import of foreign shrimp in particular, but foreign seafood undercuts their market. I've actually did international poverty work for a while and lived in a village in in South Asia where they farmed these prawns, and you know, they were feeding them dung from other animals. So it's easier to produce, and of course, labor's cheaper, and so it undercuts the market. So that's the, I mean, that is the biggest reason. But here locally, we've seen this loss of habitat. So folks that shrimp in the Upper Bay, they can't do that anymore. You can go look at the landing data and see that we're not getting shrimp out of the Upper Bay like we used to, not at all. And so they're having to travel further. Those that were in the southern part of the bay are having to travel offshore further, as those shrimp, they don't like that turbid water. As our seagrasses die, you're looking at nearly doubling your shrimp population growth when you have those grass habitats. And then the hardest one's been the oyster reef. So we have one commercially harvestable reef left in Alabama. And this last year in particular, I mean, there's a photo of it online where these oysters are just covered in mud. We got lots of different inputs of sediment. And these guys, I've been at public meetings where they tell the agency, hey, this is going to silt in our reef that we depend on, not just for income, because, yeah, they can go get a different job, but this is what their granddaddy did, their great-granddaddy did. This is what they know and love. And they've been having to travel to Mississippi this year to be able to get by with the oyster harvest. And, I mean, it really is, when you hear these folks talk, it's devastating, and you know it's an economic impact, but most importantly, it's a cultural and a way-of-life impact, and it's just – it's unacceptable because there's so many other viable options on the table. I've said it before, but I mean, we are the only place that's doing this. And I don't know why the federal government's chosen to target our area or our fishermen, but it does seem that, you know, we're going to let this way of life, the commercial fishermen, go by the wayside. Now that's – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's get a break in here. We're up against a break. I got William Strickland from Mobile Baykeeper here in the Fairhope Bureau. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Off, boy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Quick programming note, we're going to have Andrew Sorrell, our state auditor, join us at the top of the hour in the next segment. So make sure you stay tuned for that, talking about his fundraising for Secretary of State. Still with us for just a few more minutes from Mobile Baykeeper William Strickland. And you and I were kind of talking offline there, but you just need to know kind of like why or what's going on, that the answers just aren't coming like they need to be.
Yeah, and just to reframe it for those who are joining us after the break, you know, they're the dumping mud in the bay. We had somebody write in, and I hear it over and over and over again. The bay stays turbid. If you're not a commercial fisherman, if you enjoy your property value going up, if you like to catch a redfish, or do anything related, you have tourists come down to pay taxes so that we can fund our education, then you should be against the mud dumping in Mobile Bay. I do not know the reason why. I just gave you all the, there's a surplus of money to do it. There is equipment to do it. There are restoration projects that can be used. And there's a million other ideas of what we can do with dredge material. Every other port is taking it offshore or disposing of it on land. Why are we doing it different here?
They just seem annoyed when you even bring up the issue. Okay. We know what we're doing here. Don't bless your heart.
That's right. It's the we know better than you. And like I said, before these decisions were made, they had these meetings, and it's, you know, you get to go in and holler at them or write your little comment letter, but they're going to do what they're going to do. And so 23,000 letters have been sent to our federal delegation. If you'd like to join that, you can go to savemobilebay.com. We've made it easy for you. You can customize it. We're real polite. We recommend being polite, but put this segment in there. You know, get the attention of your electeds, savemobilebay.com. In the next couple months, our federal delegation is going to get a chance to fund proper dredge disposal and restrict that funding, essentially ending the practice. That's when we'll know if they're going to answer the 23,000 letters. And, you know, hopefully it'll be 30 by then to do something about this. You've had Senator Elliott and Mayor Barnes from Bayou La Batre who are saying, and I think Senator Elliott may be up there any day now to talk to them about it. So that annoyance, we got to make sure that they're more annoyed because the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And so that's what you guys can do to make this happen.
Well, it's just my perspective. This just sort of, and you've laid it out, they just sort of happened. There was no like public process or no discussion. We're just going to do it this way.
That's right. And so I'll say it again, savemobilebay.com, and we're in the last days, so be on the lookout for that disinformation campaign. You guys know how it works. There's going to be something out there that says this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing it.
William, thanks for stopping by. We'll do it again.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.